Alright, hello, you are tuned into the boys
making
noise on WMFO in Medford. We've got a very special guest with us this evening. Can we hear who you are?
Yeah, my name is David Ferrandis. I'm a student at Tufts. Delighted to be here with the boys making noise.
We're so glad to have you.
Yeah, thank you.
If you want to slide in a little closer to your mic, let the people hear that.
Absolutely.
Beautiful voice. Yeah, so we started things off with a little bit of The Roots. That was Dilitude. But today is going to be a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
With our special guests here, we're going to be hearing a lot more words than music this time. We might throw in a little bit of music later, depending.
We'll definitely throw some in between, too.
Yeah, cool. So, yeah, why don't we just get rolling? You're here for a specific purpose.
I am. I'm here to talk about a couple things. I want to kickstart it off with Fight 415. Today's Friday. It is 12:02, but yesterday, Thursday, April 14th, was the National Fight for 15 Day. And here in Boston, at least, in the greater Boston area, we saw thousands of beautiful people come out to the streets in front of the State House, from the Boston State House, to call unanimously as one. For $15 minimum wage. It was beautiful to see. Were any of you there?
I was actually unaware that this was going on.
Oh, it was massive. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
There are lots of different, not just labor organizations, but community organizations that really do important work voicing the concerns and visions for communities, not just in Boston, but here in Somerville, in Chelsea, Everett, and beyond. And just really striving to implement how to create a better community for us all, and really hitting at the importance of a proper living wage to really address and provide a platform for this really elusive upward mobility.
Yeah.
So today at the State House, we met over at 3:30, but you know, it's been a whole day worth of action. We started off at 6 a.m. bright and early, and we went to McDonald's in Central Square. And there we had SEIU Locals 509-32BJ and a whole mess of other students, workers, a busload, multiple buses of McDonald's workers, Dunkin' Donuts workers, on strike for the day, demonstrating their solidarity with other workers, saying that, you know what, strikes mean that they don't earn money for the day. It also means, though, that that's their power being constructed, saying, I have power as a worker. And that I want to create a working condition. I want to create a work environment that really celebrates my contributions and allows me to actually contribute to my home environment. It allows me to, once I leave the workplace, to take that check and actually be able to provide not only for myself, but for my family, for my families. And I think that's what it's about today. And I think seeing the collective action of folks waking up early, bright early, folks from Brockton coming out to Central to demonstrate and engage in solidarity and say that, yo, I don't care if it's early, but we're here together and we're here to really make it clear. And I think that was reaffirmed when Representative Pat Jalen came out and also spoke, definitely legitimizing much of what workers have planted already. And I just think that's an important spark and just a great way to kick off the day. And you know what? That only set the mood for what happened after. Over at 2 p.m., a whole mess of folks went to Boston University, where there's a current campaign for the adjunct faculty to really construct a good contract between the university, their employer, and themselves, their union. So we definitely, a whole mess of students, not just students, but labor organizations, women's organizations, etc., definitely came as one to demonstrate support and tell their president, Brown, I think it is, who's making $1.3 million a year, let's take that in.
Yeah.
1.3 million a year. That, yo, that's not okay. That, quite frankly, it's the faculty and the adjunct faculty especially who thanklessly educate the leaders of tomorrow, and definitely provide the affirming spaces, the classrooms, for much of the growth that is learning. So I think that should definitely be reflected through a proper contract that affirms their contributions, mm-hmm. whether it be through pay, through pension, through healthcare, through sick days, through vacation time, etc., or just the mere validation and acknowledgement of all their contributions. So I think that's why we came out today. And I think from there, we were able to definitely say, this is not just a Boston University issue. This is not just a worker issue. This is related to all, whether you're a student or not. And I think that's really echoed through the following action of Fight for 15, where mm-hmm. we all bust to 3:30 in front of the State House, and definitely had a growing physical presence, not just in Boston, but across the entire country and world, I'd say, definitely looking at the United States as an example, saying, how can popular power construct and shape politics and craft a better society that really creates channels for working classes and intersectionalities of the working classes to really have an opportunity to have a fair share, have a fair shot at a decent life. So I think that's what folks called for, saying, what do we want? We want 15. When do we want? We want it now. We got bills in the State House. We got bills in Congress. I think it's a matter of it's this pressure that we're constructing out here on the streets. And then through community organizing, through day-to-day organizing communication between organizations and workers, that really demonstrates that there's a lot that's got to happen. And you know what? It's up to this mounting public pressure to definitely influence and penetrate the political discourse to influence and create and yield change. So I think that we saw last year folks mobilize, and we saw this year folks mobilize. And I know that tomorrow and beyond, folks will continue to mobilize, and their voices and chants will only grow louder and stronger. And I know that because of the solidarity constructed, we have nowhere to go but forward. Mm-hmm. So I'm really replenished and motivated and encouraged and challenged to really continue this. That it doesn't end here with a National Day of Action, but it continues through the daily acts of resistance and construction, and really fighting for just conditions, both in the workplace and outside the workplace.
Mm. Yeah.
Wow. So you did this as a member of Tough Slavery Coalition?
I did. I did it as a member. First of all, I did it as a concerned citizen.
Yeah, first and foremost,
because this affects us all.
Mm-hmm.
But I also did it as a member of Tufts Labor Coalition. I'm a student at Tufts.
Mm-hmm.
And as a student, I have inherent privileges here. The ability to be in school and to learn and take advantage of these resources definitely puts me in a position of privilege that other folks may not have access to. And I think that it's because of that privilege that we have to know how to leverage it to ultimately hold the university, the administration, accountable to its self-proclaimed goals. It loves to talk about active citizenship, civic engagement, a lot of flowery language. And I love it. I love those ideas. Let's actually make sure that the university practices it, though.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's mm-hmm. a lot. That's the driving force, one of the primary driving forces behind the work Tufts Labor Coalition does.
It's holding them accountable.
Mm-hmm. So, like, we're primarily a student group, but increasingly engaged and rooted in our communities, both on and off campus. So we engage as a labor coalition, as a labor group, with the workers primarily on campus, whether they be janitors. We had a big fight last year. Mm-hmm. Janitors. Also, trades workers, so our construction workers who are working tirelessly and thanklessly again, and non-union. These are non-union workers. Tufts hires non-union workers for their projects when it comes at the same price. We work with dining workers. We work with security guards, etc. So, and faculty, adjunct faculty, tenured faculty. Basically, understanding how we can leverage our positions to act not on behalf but with workers to construct as a long-term goal of constructing worker power.
Mm-hmm.
So, I've done a lot of work with our janitors on campus, and we have three campuses here at Medford, Somerville, Boston, and Grafton, which is really far away.
Mm-hmm.
But things are picking up. Things are picking up. There's a lot of developments happening, and so if we look at the janitors, at least, So the current situation is that we have about 180 janitors working at Tufts across all three campuses, about. And their contract, our janitors are currently outsourced. So that means that the university hires a company to provide their labor force. So in 1994, janitors were once direct hired. They were direct employees of the university. In 1994, under the guise of decreasing costs, I think it was projected like $1 million annually, they decided to outsource to a company called Unico. And that just began and entrenched a long pattern of outsourcing that just yielded just really damaging and negative consequences on these invaluable community members. Those consequences look like losing benefits such as having their children who are accepted no longer being able to have free tuition. Taking massive pay cuts.
Oh, because they weren't directly employed
exactly,
by the school.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, wow. So at Tufts, you'll have professors whose children, if they're accepted now,
yeah.
their children, like, you got to get in first. But they get in, they don't pay tuition.
Right.
That was once the case for janitors, too. Tufts changed that with outsourcing. That was part of outsourcing. They reduce, not just reduce, but they remove those benefits. They move them from Tufts healthcare onto the company provided healthcare, which is significantly weaker. So definitely signaling the human impacts of outsourcing, and say, like, quite frankly, this is the university's attempt, one, at cost reduction, and the university is heavily, understandably concerned about costs, but it's operating at a profit, and this is a non-profit institution. It's constantly increasing its endowment. It's having increasingly successful fundraising drives. So we're saying, hey, you have a, first and foremost, you have a commitment to all that contribute to your campus, whether they be students or your workers,
right.
or your host communities, in which you're physically locked in, and in which you're expanding
and impeding
and invading.
Yeah.
And we're just thinking of Medford, Somerville, but also Boston, Chinatown.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And just look at the aggressive invasions that the administration is backing and and masking. Ultimately, they mask it. So an important clarification of ours is to expose the relationship that the university in fact outsources to remove accountability, that it's no longer the university at fault for cuts, for example, layoffs, firings, or changing work schedules, but it's the company. And so our obligation as students, as a Tufts Labor Coalition, is to expose that relationship and say, in fact, Linda Snyder, who's Tufts' vice president of operations, making $500,000+, is spearheading. She jumps from institution to institution. Last time she was at Dartmouth, where she was implementing the same cost reduction policies, making money off of it, in fact. And she was fired by a public campaign against her. Now she's at Tufts doing the same thing.
You're good.
Doing the same thing.
Same damn thing.
Same yeah. damn thing. Making money off of the firings of immigrant women of color, primarily. That's the largest demographic of our janitors here on campus. So already socially stratified folks, already at the very bottom, already quite at the bottom of this hierarchy in the U.S. And the U.S. is just, and Tufts as an administration just perpetuating that and increasing that marginalization, that violence against them, that against these communities, against our communities. So it's our obligation to expose the relationship and say, in fact, so bringing it back to today,
yeah.
The janitors are renegotiating the contract. They're unionized. Janitors are unionized by SEIU 32BJ. And they're renegotiating the contract with the outsourcing company. One's called DTZ. They merged. Now they're called CNW. It's the same company. Same company, different name. So we asked President Monaco, our president, making $816,000 a year, I believe. We asked him last Tuesday, not this Tuesday, but I think April 5th it was. We asked him, hey, President Monaco, are you going to support janitors in their fight for a good contract? And he said, we, as the university, hold no role in those talks. It's between the union and the company. That may be true, but we're trying to expose the underlying influence, the dominant influence that the university Linda Snyder and the greater administration holds in influencing and dominating and ultimately puppeteering the company, that the company will not sign on to anything that the university does not agree to. So we're trying to expose and ground our analysis and our work in that relationship and say that, you know what, this contract is important because the university is highly complicit in it. And therefore saying, not only that, but the contract is also important because for once it represents not just an opportunity, because for so long the workers on campus have been resisting so much of the increasing exploitation of both the university and the company. Last year, janitors faced the threat of 35 layoffs. That's 30. We good to go on?
I think we're good.
Okay, we're good. We're all good.
Don't know what that was.
I don't know what spooky. That
was. Some spooky stuff.
Yeah. So 35 of 200 janitors, that's 17%. 17% of the entire janitorial workforce. That's a lot. That's far too much. That's absolutely ridiculous. Zero. One is far too much, in my opinion. But 35, that's 35 lives, 35 families. That's important to contextualize.
And can we talk about also on campus, so in terms of like janitors or per dorm?
Yeah.
That's a big change too, isn't it?
Absolutely. Are you talking about the increasing workload?
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, let's talk about that campaign. Okay, so in December 2014, so a little while back, the university said that in fact there were rumors, but it was confirmed then by the university, of the plan to cut 35 janitors. That shook us all to the core because we realized the dreadful impact that would encompass. So we said we have to do something as students. We recognize that these are invaluable community members without the right to strike, with limited opportunities to engage and critique and hold the university accountable because the university and the company silence workers. They negate the right of workers. So we realized, how do we, when workers are repressed in this regard, what alternate channels, avenues are there to work with them? And we said, you know, we have an obligation. So as students, as workers, as a growing coalition of community members, both on and off campus, we engaged in escalating tactics to raise awareness and ultimately denounce the university, saying, you have money, you want to save $900,000 a year by these cuts. There's cut from the top. That's one proposal. That's one valid proposal. Trim from the top. Trim from those folks who earn enough money where they will not be affected by this. Don't cut from the bottom. Don't reproduce what the United States does so well. Be a change. Be a pioneer in this regard of setting an example of how you want this space to be. You talk about active citizenship, prove it. Make this environment a model for what the United States can be. So definitely don't look out, look in first. Work from within. Make sure that this environment is the best that it can be towards students, and more importantly, towards workers and to all the communities that definitely contribute to the culture of the place.
Right.
So at the very end, we had a lot of different actions. The biggest and most extreme was probably our hunger strike.
Yeah.
6 days. Not an easy decision. But you know what? Through the hunger strike, we were able to get those 35 down to 20. And it was down to 20 because the admins realized, oh, shoot. Cutting 35 is a violation of the contract. So they said, oh, we're so benevolent. Look at how great we are. We're trimming from 35 to 20. Look, we're listening to the community when we're in fact saying, hey, it was illegal all along. Right. So in the end, we were able to, at the very end, through the cuts in August, implemented in August, 8 were laid off. And it's a bittersweet victory because one is far too many. But you know, when we compare 8 to 35, we say, hey, all our collective action yielded something. It reduced something. And you know what? What's left unnoted, I think, and is a little more abstract and harder to pinpoint, is the amount of community constructed through that process. Through the process of sacrifice, of loving sacrifice, of tenderness, of overcoming barriers, whether it be language barriers, cultural barriers, etc., and say, we are in this together. We recognize our positions as not just community members, but as loving and tender humans, and we want to validate each other's experiences and contributions and visions, and we want to engage in this work together. And I think that is perhaps one of the largest takeaways from us as a labor coalition and from what the workers have shared as well, that this is about not just resisting, but about constructing community. And when we look at the current contract and the context of the contract, it's an opportunity for construction, not just resisting the bad, but an opportunity for workers to say, to plant an idea, a really articulate and formed idea of what they want from this work environment. Really specific. The contract's going to deal with things like sick time, vacation, pension, healthcare, uniforms, equipment, you name it. So this contract definitely spells out how their working conditions are going to be for the next couple of years. And so this is an opportunity for construction. We need to be creative. We need to really approach this with encouragement and support and the backing of all community members. And say all this bad stuff, cuts, changing work schedules, moving people from Monday through Fridays, 8 to 4, onto weekends, 10:30 p.m. to 7 a.m., all of this happened under the weak language of the current contract that granted management, the company, enhanced in a more dominant position over workers. So we're trying to say, okay, how can we leverage our power? How can we refine a vision of what we want from this contract? And how can we actually get it? So that's where we're at. We're at a process of construction, of creation. Mm-hmm. And this is a really encouraging challenge that we gladly accept as students, as workers, as union delegates, as faith-based groups, as community organizations, as local politicians, the Medford and Somerville City Council folk, who last year passed resolutions denouncing Tufts's blatant disregard for its community members. They said, hey, you, for all the services we provide, and this is how you treat our community members? Like, this, that's not okay. That's not okay. And you know what? That's not just not okay. That's unacceptable, and we will hit you where it hurts. Next time you come asking for city services, we'll think twice. We'll think twice. And they echoed that. And we're really counting on that support looking into this current contract and this upcoming fight. So it's definitely a challenge that we accept. And right now, we're looking to build support, generate a climate awareness, say the contract represents the opportunity for creation to not just resist all the bad that's happened the past few years, but really establish and create an affirming, validating workplace that really acknowledges their contributions, thanks them, and not just thanks them rhetorically through word, but in practice. And I think that's what it's about. It's about generating a campus environment that really honors workers and students and really cultivates this respect and dignity for all of our contributions and the different ways in which we contribute to the space. So I think that's where we're at.
Wow.
It's exciting.
It's powerful stuff.
It is. Mm-hmm. And it's very connected to Fight for 15.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we think about it, this is a fight for fair treatment. And the fight for the possibility of living a dignified life, having opportunities, and make sure that opportunities aren't just entrenched within an elite, or within a particularly white, wealthy, male, cis elite, but rather extend to all folks, especially those who have been historically and presently relegated and left behind intentionally. So I think we have a lot of work to do to uphold this to really create the society we want. And I think it starts at home. We can't look far if we can tolerate so much badness happening at home. We really have to turn inwards first and create let ourselves be a model for what we want from other folks. Be leaders in that. So we're holding the university accountable. That's what we're doing. Yeah. And we're doing it with love. So
well, thank you.
Absolutely.
Well, on that note, what do you have specific plans for the future, or things that you're able to say now, or
we do have plans for the future. I'm not sure if we can reveal them all.
Yeah, then what are some ways that people can get involved?
That's great. I'd say talk about it. Talk about the ways, talk about your own working conditions. We're talking about folks at Tufts.
Mm-hmm.
Their position isn't unique. Their experiences aren't unique. Interrogate. Ask yourself, what conditions do I face as a worker?
Yeah.
How's my relationship with my employer? How can you help with folks at Tufts? Talk about it with friends. Just pass on the knowledge. Reach out to Tufts Labor Coalition on Facebook, on Twitter. We definitely post updates. We're definitely planning actions, ways to get involved, ways to provide physical support. That's a really tangible way to get involved. But beyond that, this struggle extends far beyond the confines of Tufts as a campus, as a physically rooted campus. This is a fight for labor justice, and acknowledging the intersectionality of labor, that one is not just a worker, but one can be a woman worker, one can be a worker who is queer, etc., etc., that this is not just this is very intersectional. And to realize how our different intersectionalities shape our experiences and the way that we're perceived by others, and how those perceptions ground the way they treat or extend or do not extend opportunities to other folks. So really question that and say, hey, I'm not being validated, I'm not being treated well, I'm in a position of little power, perhaps no power, in the workplace, or beyond the workplace even, and say, what can I do? What can I do to create a cleavage, to really disrupt that violent status quo, to fight for a place, to completely undo a system and create one centering those that have been past and presently exploited. So I just think this isn't just a Tufts fight. We saw it at BU, we saw it at Boston, and we're seeing it all across the nation, and we're seeing it all across the world. Mm-hmm. So definitely question systems of power. By systems of power, I mean the way, who's in control? Ask yourself that. What demographic are they? How much money do they have? How do they use their resources? To what ends? What does that mean for other folks who do not fall within those groups? And so definitely ask yourself that. Begin a process of constant questioning, of constant critique, and just water it. Water those thoughts of not just dissent, but of consciousness. Water it and let it definitely ground your actions and the way you approach and interact with the world. I just think, I don't want to say wake up, but definitely open your eyes to different possibilities, that we're not confined to we don't have to accept the condition in which we were placed. We can definitely, we have to work to overcome it, but we got to work. We got to wake up and work. So definitely interrogate lovingly and act on it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So for anyone who's just tuning in, you are listening to The Boys Making Noise, mm-hmm. on WMFO. We've got a very special guest, yeah. here. David's in the house.
Yeah, well, thank you so much. It's been beautiful to be able to share this with you all.
Oh, we're so glad to have you.
Thanks for speaking with us.
Yeah. We really do appreciate it.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you'd like to talk about? We can...
Let's hear some tunes.
Move any direction you'd like. But
let's hear some tunes.
There's music
right
if you want to hear music. Jordan, do you have something you'd like to play?
No, not really. I think you should play a song.
Oh, okay. Give me a second then. Talk amongst yourselves.
Mm-hmm. It's been a beautiful past 2 days.
And it's gonna stay beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful,
I like it.
It's beautiful. Do you mean weather-wise or in terms of the things you've been doing?
Both, you know. The weather's definitely helped to shape it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just engaging with others.
Yeah.
Talking, having a good time. That's what it's about. Yeah. Definitely holding and latching on to what makes us feel good. And putting ourselves in a place that makes us feel good is really important. Helps us a lot.
I don't really know what to play. We got some Jimi Hendrix coming your way.
I love it.
All right. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. All right, that was One Rainy Wish off of the album Axis Bold as Love. Can you guess the year?
1971.
Jordan?
74.
67.
Yeah. Jimmy starting early.
Yeah, he's far ahead of his time though, you know?
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, yeah.
Yeah, we got another song, another tune we want to play, and just a little bit of context. This is a Chilean song, part of the new song movement emerging in the 60s and early 70s. This is by a band called Sol y Lluvia, Sun and Rain. This song is called Para Que Nunca Más, and it's just a really intimate reflection of Chile's military dictatorship between 1973 to 1989, and say, so never again this happens, never again to the tortures, to the disappearances, to the violence of the right wing. So here we go. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Tu mirada tan triste, vuelvo a pensar en ayer, que caminaba sin miedo a tu lado, sin preguntar el porqué, donde se oían todas las voces y el canto de todos se hacía escuchar. Hay que apretar el presente con brazos y voces que hoy puedan cantar. Hay que apretar el presente con brazos y voces que hoy puedan cantar. Para que nunca más en Chile, para que nunca más, para que nunca más en Chile,
I'm playing it.
Oh.
But I know that someday
get the best of me. But I know that someday, no, someday, darling, I won't be
All right, that was the Wailing Wailers, Young Bob Marley, with It Hurts to Be Alone. Mm-hmm. And before that, what did you play, Jordan?
I played, what was the name of the song?
Trouble Blues.
Trouble Blues by Sam Cooke.
That's right. Yeah, so we're gonna do a PSA. We're also a little bit worried that people out there might be falling asleep, so we're gonna try to wake you up after this one. We've got some wheezy coming down the pipe.
Prepare yourself.
Get ready. Wheezy, but baby. First,
the public service announcements. Walking is good exercise. Although other physical activities can provide a more vigorous workout, walking is easy, requires no special equipment, and is good exercise for most adults. You hear that, y'all? It's good exercise. Look at this. In urban areas, walking can be an excellent alternative to driving. So when you drive, you can carry that little stereo and walk as you listen to us.
Listen up.
Can be an excellent alternative to driving or even taking public transportation. Save a couple cents too, you know?
That's true.
For example, it's just a little over 2.5 miles from the Tufts campus in Medford to Harvard Square. I didn't know that. In Cambridge, a distance that can be walked in about 45 minutes by a healthy adult. It's a nice walk. Walking can get you fresh air, like these past 2 days. Exercise, burn calories, save you money. Ching, ching. And with all the inattentive and otherwise impaired drivers on the road, it's safer than riding a bike. This has been a public service message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Community Radio.
Yeah, take Thanks. A stroll.
You got hands up?
Hands up.
What? Do you see it? It's not on this album.
Actually, yeah, I couldn't find Hands Up, but we've got Lil Wayne no matter what.
Yeah, should I just pick another one?
Yeah, let's do that.
Do you have another choice Lil Wayne song?
Let's do Right Above It.
Okay, let's do
it. I like that song. I'm with Drake. Right Above It.
All right.
Here we go.
Stay awake.
Damn, I was looking for...
Kane is in the building.
With Hollywood Cole, I'm with Marley G, bro, flying Hollywood chicks to my Hollywood shows, and I wanna tell you something that you probably should know, this that Slumdog Millionaire Bollywood flowing my real friends never hearing from me, fake friends write the wrong answers on the mirror for me, that's why I pick and choose, I don't get shit confused, I got a small circle, I'm not with different crews, we walk the same path, but got on different shoes, live in the same building, but we got different views, I got a couple cars, I never get to use, don't like my women single, I like my chicks in twos, and these days all the girls is down the road, I hit the strip club and all them bitches find a pole, plus I've been sipping so this shit is moving kinda slow, just tell my girl to tell a friend that it's time to go, now tell me how you love it, you know you at the top and all the heavens right above it, we own. It's young money, motherfucker. If you ain't running with it, run from it, motherfucker. Alright, now somebody show some money in this bitch. And I got my bees with me like some honey in this bitch. Shit, dick. I got my gun in my boot purse. And I don't bust back because I shoot first. Meet me on the fresh train. Yes, I'm in the building. You just on the list of guest names. And all of my riders do not give a fuck. X Games. Guns turn you boys into pussies. Sex change. And I smoke till I got chest pains. And you niggas know I rep my gang like Jesse James. Women are possessive. And they wanna possess Wayne. I've been fly so long I fell asleep on the fucking plane. Skinny pants and some Vans. Call me AAA, get my advance in advance. Amen. As the world spinning, dance in my hands. Life is a beach, I'm just playing in the sand. Wake up and smell a pussy. You niggas can't see me, but never overlook me. I'm on the paper trail, it ain't no telling where it took me. Yeah, and I ain't a killer, but don't push me. But tell me how you love it. You know you're at the top and all the heavens right above it. We own. It's young money, motherfucker. If you ain't running with it, run from it, motherfucker. Alright, got some radishes, some money in this bitch. And I got my bees with me like some honey in this bitch. Shit, dick. I got my gun in my boot purse. And I don't bust back because I shoot fire.
full black woman, I bet that bitch look better red. Limping off tour cause I made more off my second leg. Motherfucking Birdman Jr. 11th grade, falling on automatic start. I can hand it to Drake, I do a quarterback draw. Wildcat offense, check the paw prints. We in the building, you niggas in apartments. Come on, be my blood donor. Flow so nice, you ain't gotta put a rug on her. Do it big and let the small fall under that. Damn, where you stumbled at? From where they make gumbo at? Hang at the fucking beat, jumping like a jumping jack. And you know me, I get on this bitch and have a heart attack. Hip hop, I'm the heart of that. Nigga, nothing short of that. President Carter, young money Democrat. Now tell me how you love it. You know you at the top and all the hell is right above it. We own up. It's young money, motherfucker. If you ain't running with it, run from it, motherfucker. Alright, now somebody show some money in this bitch. And I got my bees whipping like some honey in this bitch. Shoot it. And I got my gun in my boot purse. And I don't bust back because I shoot first.
You are tuned into WMFO in Medford. That's 91.5 FM, and you are listening to The Boys
Making
Noise.
There we go. We got a little bit of The Strokes going. That was Someday off of the album Is This It. Before that, what did we hear?
We heard Lil Wayne, right above it, featuring Drake.
That's right. Right.
We hope that woke you up if you were snoozing on the road.
I think Weezy should come out with a with an alarm clock.
I would buy it.
Yeah, no music, just him speaking and telling you to wake up. That'd be wonderful.
I never hit the snooze button again.
Yeah. All right. What do you think? Want to keep moving on? We got 6 minutes left.
Yeah. Do we want to play more music? Anything else you want to say while we have some airtime?
I really appreciate this opportunity to speak with some folks about a lot of the important labor organizing taking place on Tufts campus with janitors and also beyond the Tufts campus with the National 515 and all of its beautiful articulations. So just continue constructing that power. Continue constructing power that resists, defies, and constructs alternatives. So to all those on the road, to all those tuning in, you are loved, and we are in this together for the long haul.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. I want to say a very special thank you to our guest tonight.
Word.
David, it's been wonderful having you.
Thank you, thank you.
Yeah, welcome back anytime.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Speaking of that, make sure to tune back in next Thursday, same time, same place. I guess it's Friday at 12 a.m. to 1 a.m. The Boys Making Noise will be back.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, hope you enjoy the show.
Mm-hmm.
So we got 5 minutes left.
Let's hear some Modest Mouse.
Oh, wait. I think Jordan's got something.
Oh, okay.
You got something? We could throw on some Modest Mouse.
We can
later.
Do some Modest Mouse.
Jordan, you got ideas, though. I see it in your eyes.
I see the
I can smell your ideas.
No, I mean, Modest Mouse sounds good. What do you want to hear?
I'm thinking Custom Concern. That's or Gravity Rides Everything. That's what I'm thinking.
I was listening to Blame It on the Tetons earlier today.
Mm.
Sometimes that one just hits.
It does.
All right, we got Custom Concern.
Mm-hmm.
Modest Mouse.
Let's roll it.
Let's roll.
Gotta go to work, gotta have a job.